Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the second part of the French Connection today. Of course, my name is Daryl Bradford Smith, and it is the 31st day of March 2006, and we've got a special guest today. Her name is Charlotte Iserby. If you haven't heard Charlotte's work, she's been digging through the muck of these facts that we deal with every day for quite a time here. And has her own unique take on much of what we discuss on the French Connection. And I've invited her here today to mull over some of these important and salient facts around, well, all kinds of subjects, 9/11, the Middle East, the war in Iraq, the Bush regime, and on so many other subjects that we're going to touch upon. So I'm going to bring her up right now. Charlotte, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic to have you here, Charlotte, for your first visit to the French Connection.
Yeah.
You know, I got to tell you, I was just going to say to you before we went on air here, I've been, you know, pretty close with Lieutenant Colonel Karen Katowski, and she was very involved in the Pentagon's office with this guy that was just arrested there. What the heck was his name there? Oh, boy.
It should all be. Which one?
Well, you know, she was reporting to Douglas Faith and over to Scooter Libby and here's the thing. They are so ensconced in, these folks that I complain about every day on the show are so ensconced in our power structure that they almost seem like that they're normal to be there. But the fact is, we did a piece on our site, and instead of using Zionists as a group, we changed them to Koreans.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And we described them, if Koreans were the biggest pack in the government, and they were also the controllers of our press, and the controllers of, and that a Korean owned the 9/11 buildings, and there were dancing Koreans outside of it, and there were 20 Korean art students that were milling around, and Korean lobbyists that were entertaining bin Laden's boys, and all of the stuff that we went through. And, boy, you know, when you put it in those terms, your head just goes, whoa, wait a minute here.
Well, you know, analogies are the best way to go. I mean, Americans don't understand anything unless you spell it out like that, draw pictures, analogies. And sometimes they don't even understand that. But this has been going on for so long that and the basic history is there for anybody, and it's in all of the, you know, the London Times, the Hamburg, whatever, all going all the way back. I don't know how people can question what has happened, and I mean, you're talking about the books that are so terribly important that are written by good Jews, and there are many. I mean, some of the best people who are concerned about Zionism are Jews themselves.
That's right.
I remember when I was in the State Department way back. I hate to admit this shows how old I am. back in the late 50s.
Yeah.
And we used to, I mean, no, you know, most of my friends just don't believe me when I tell them this, but we used to have rabbis coming into the office, you know, with their little black caps on, and they were all very, very upset with what was going on in the Middle East. They were upset with the Zionists.
Yeah.
And I really learned a lot from that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would come in and they'd have an appointment with my boss. I wasn't very high up. This guy was, my boss was the head of public affairs. So he was in charge of everybody coming in, visits, et cetera, in regard to what was going on out there. And I'll tell you, it's been going on, you know, ever since, well, the beginning of the last century, but still, you know, certainly since 48.
Yeah.
And you know, friends of mine would say, who? What? Who?
Yeah, yeah. They've never connected the dots. And even Charlotte, even when we had the Levant affair, where they were actually caught red-handed trying to blame the Egyptians for blowing up American interests in Egypt.
That's right.
And then we had the USS Liberty, and both of those events went under the radar.
That's right. That's right. And it's so obvious that the control is there. And the only place that I haven't really been able to, that's why, in a way, I'm probably not the perfect person to have on the show.
You're perfect. You do great work. So
I've always looked for tremendous influence from them in the area of education. And interestingly enough, I think that they've been extremely cautious in not being obvious. It's difficult to find. I mean, it's not difficult to find some, but you've got a heck of a lot of rotten, stinking, foul, anti-Christian, humanistic, world internationalist curriculum that's been developed by not them necessarily.
They're being financed through their network.
Well, they are, and then you've got the tax-exempt foundations and all. But what's interesting is that they have managed to keep themselves from being able to be identified.
Well, that's exactly right, and I mean,
with
you know,
some exceptions.
Well, you remember the when Henry Ford was coming out and clearly stating that these people are controlling the planet,
right,
controlling the world. And then, you know, not 20, 30 years later when his son takes over, they end up usurping Henry Ford's wishes and taking over the Ford Foundation.
Well, yeah, and then his son quit, remember, because he got so fed up?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, all of this is, it's the key to the problem, and it's the key to not just that problem. It's the key to
the entire mess we're in globally.
Yeah, and they're not alone. You know, they're very close to other orders.
Well, you know what we figured out here on the French Connection? We went, and after we did Kessler's book,
mm-hmm.
Arthur Kessler spells out the Sabaeans and how the Frankist movement was born through the Khazars and the Kagan and all that, and then we moved the information into this Weishaupt period when he started the Illuminati, and then when he began seeding other organizations from the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, when you start taking a look at the New Bohemians, when they were coming over,
mm-hmm.
they were financed through this, the Masonic lodges that were set up by
them.
That's
right.
When you start taking a look at the entire nest,
that's right.
They've got both sides of every single issue covered with an organization.
That's right. I have a tremendous amount of research on all of that, and, really hard-to-find stuff that I've had for a long time, and...
What are we going to do about it? See, at the French Connection, what we've decided, they kind of messed up with me, Charlotte. I'll be honest with you. I was under their radar too long for them, and then all of a sudden I was too big for them to deal with in a slandering way, because now I've got 10, 15, 20,000 people a day listening.
Mm-hmm.
So what
are we going to do?
The genie's out of the bottle, and more people I'm noticing are starting to feel emboldened to speak out. And of course, because we've got the APEC on the run a little bit with their spy scandal. We've got Abramoff, being brought down. And so, in other words, they're feeling the pressure of their own criminality, and it's given us an opening to start educating people.
Well, I think, too, that... I believe the discussion of the role of the Masons is a lot more permissible now than it has ever been before because of the Internet.
Yeah.
And when you get into that, really, if you get into it, anybody really understands that, you will see who's really in charge, huh?
Well, you know...
Of them, huh?
Well... Yeah, but see that they're actually there are even people higher than the Masons when you get
right.
Yeah, and here's the interesting thing: we've been talking, Eric and I, about recent recent groups that are saying they're exposing the facts. And we got this 9/11 Scholars for Truth group who actually tried to sell out into the public that on 9/11. They took the planes were actually put into the videotape at a studio, and that the planes never existed,
right?
And that they were blue screened in. Immediately, Eric and I put on our site and many others that there were individuals with photographs of these planes. So unless they were able to get into every person's phone, ludicrous this was. And what we discovered was that they have a huge nest of disinfo people trying to spin this in the opposite direction.
Well, make us look like idiots.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's constant trying to make us look like idiots. So you have to be very, very careful. Very, very careful.
Well, here's the other thing. I mean, they choose a guy to come out and out this whole 9/11 thing named Charlie Sheen. Now,
yeah, I know.
Charlie Sheen might be a funny guy, but, you know, 4 years ago he was arrested for shooting his girlfriend in the arm.
Mm-hmm.
This was after he left the number one porn queen in history as his previous girlfriend. Now he's being sued by his present girlfriend for lack of child support. He's on a $150,000 a week gambling habit that he's been proven. He's been in rehab 6 times. And his father is the most avowed communist in the United States.
I know. You see, this is, I mean, we end up with, you know, having these people as friends like Ed Asner, and Ed Asner's been very helpful on some things, but you start asking questions. Why all of a sudden? I mean, the minute that came out, even, I didn't even know about Charlie Sheen, what you just told me.
Yeah.
But I did know that CNN, the likelihood of CNN ever called me, for instance, and said, "Look, we'd like to interview you," or we heard your interview when you were out in California or something, you know, I would know immediately that something was wrong.
Yeah. They were, they were going to do a hit piece.
What the hell are you calling me for? I mean, really? This is ridiculous. Are you sure have you checked? Are you making a mistake? You don't want to get fired. I mean, really, and we all felt that way. Anybody who, I mean, it's sort of nice to have someone on the major media telling the American people what most of us have beginning to wonder about anyway. I mean, if the dodo is a sleeping giant.
Well, they were trying to get me to go on 2020.
Good. I'm glad you didn't.
Well, what they were going to try to do is destroy me on that show. They were going to take excerpts of my responses and turn me into a buffoon.
Yeah. Well, that's right. You've got to be very wise as serpents, huh?
Well, I mean, you know, Eric Hufschmidt and I, we've dodged a lot of bullets. You know, I've been battling this battle here for about 16 months.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I before that, I was just some guy over here in France, and I'm disgusted with what I was seeing. And boy, I'll tell you, I've gone through the peregrinations I've gone through to get arriving at these facts. It's just astonishing. And I got to tell you, where we've arrived now is the real story. And, you know, once we got Ben Friedman listened to, I was floored after
Ben
Friedman.
It's fabulous.
Oh.
You know, what I'm doing with my secondary website, my son is very good with webs, web development, everything like that. I have this extraordinary collection of original books. It's considered to be the finest collection in the world on the Masons.
Yeah.
And we're going to scan it all in.
Oh, boy. Hey, I got a question for you. Alex Jones told the radio audience that his grandfather was a high-level Mason down in Texas. You have any information on that?
Well, I don't know, but my grandfather was a high-level Mason, too, and he was also a member of Skull and Bones at Yale.
Ooh.
And my father, too.
Holy moly moly.
Yeah, you know, so the fact that his grandfather was doesn't mean he's bad, but it's very possible. I mean, how many Americans are there who don't have relatives who've been in that horrible, evil cabal? I think that once we get the stuff on the Internet, it's going to take a lot of work. We've got to go down and pick up. You know, that is really... We have the most. Actually, part of it was the Reese Committee hearings and the Cox Committee hearings that I put up. That I don't know if you were aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can inform me about it.
Well, Norman Dodd.
Yeah.
Probably heard of him.
Yes, I have.
Was the research director for the Reese Committee that investigated the tax exempt foundations.
Yep.
That was the second investigation. The Cox Committee was the first one. And they were abruptly terminated because the foundations were not going to allow that to get out to the American people. And Eisenhower was deeply involved in terminating them. And Norman Dodd, as you know, was told by the president of the Ford Foundation that they got their instructions for the White House on how to spend their money and to spend it so that the United States could be comfortably merged with the Soviet Union. And that is true. And I knew Norman Dodd, and et cetera. And I knew all of this, and I was very involved in exposing Reagan signing the agreements with the Soviet Union in 1985 and all of that. But I had met Norman Dodd before. And when Reagan did that, you know, and I'd also worked in Soviet affairs in the State Department, okay? And I'm a Foreign Service girl.
Mm-hmm.
So I had met Norman Dodd, great patriot, wonderful person, and he was threatened. They said they're going to kill him, you know, if he continued on his track with getting after the foundations. He finally died, but he always wanted the truth to come out in regard to this.
Yeah.
The merger with the Soviets, which is exactly what's happening right now. I mean, every single thing that Bush is doing is part of William Foster's toward a Soviet America, including the mental health and, you know, everything he's doing, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I knew that there was only one copy of the hearings available, and I have a friend who had it because he was working on the committee. And I always wanted it, and I finally bought it a year ago. Reese Committee is 3,000 pages, the Congressional Record, and Cox Committee is 1,000 pages. This Congressional Record. Foundations, after they were terminated, the hearings, but they were still the record, right?
Yeah.
Foundations went to all the libraries, scooped up all the copies of the hearings, the testimony, and burned them, I guess, so that nobody would ever know what happened. So I went and put some money into that and bought them, and my son put them on my website.
Okay. And we'll give the website right now while I'm thinking about
it's
please.
It's called AmericanDeception.com.
Okay.
Now, it's also linked to my primary website, which is DeliberateDumbingDown.com.
Well, we're going to have links to both of those when they press on this interview.
Yeah.
Both of your websites will come up, and again, we get 10,000, 20,000, depends on what day. Weekends
right.
are slower, so you won't see a bump right away, but you'll see
right.
a big bump in your numbers.
Well, that's good. Now, the America, my book, The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, 700 pager.
Mm-hmm.
That's all documents. It's chronological. And it's not just on education, because people always think education is separate. No. They never could have brought us down. They never could have brought us to the point we are right now, where we're absolutely going right into an international socialist system, which Lenin called for, right? They never could have done it unless they had controlled the schools.
That's right.
And that was Carnegie. Basically,
yep.
Carnegie. It was Ford, Rockefeller, all the rest. But Carnegie was the one that he really did us all a great favor, the Carnegie Corporation, because they were so consistent. They didn't miss a beat. You know, it's sort of like, was it Little Red Riding Hood, you know, going to Grandma's house or
yeah.
one of them? You know, they left little pebbles all over in order to, I can find them. And every year it was agreements with the Soviets. It was national testing. It was, you name it. It totally up to right now implementing the Soviet polytech system.
Well, you know, here's the interesting thing. Because I live in France and
right.
I'm aware of what's going on
right.
here, what they've done here in France is they've made people, this has been long before America did it, they turned their students into automatons. In other
oh,
words,
yeah, little robots. My son was over there studying
yeah.
at the university in Orléans.
Yeah.
And after for 1 year, because we have family there.
Yeah.
And he just said, Mom, if you think it's bad in the United States, those kids are absolute, exactly what you said, little robots. If you even look the wrong way in reference to the United Nations, they'll jump on you.
Oh, they do. No, but here's the thing. On technical things like science and math,
well, they're good.
They're much better.
Yeah.
But as far as questioning things, they don't question.
No.
And see, and the other thing is they don't ask questions of their teachers.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, everything is done by rote, and it's
yep.
You know, I've got children in college.
Mm-hmm.
My sons are learning this in the same system. I went to college back some decades ago, and the process was well underway already. And I remember asking questions in every class because that's who I am. I ask questions. And I remember about two-thirds of my professors did not appreciate it. In fact,
right.
they didn't like my inquiries into their line of thinking.
That's right.
And
that's
now,
right.
Now, of course, you're familiar with Aristotle and Socrates
yeah.
and Socratic
yes,
method.
Yes, of course.
Now, one of the great things, and you've read Eric's book, one of Eric's strong points is his Socratic method
mm-hmm.
of bringing you to the facts.
Right.
That whole way of thinking is being lost, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they say they're using that, you know, but they use it for their own purposes.
That's right.
You can use the Socratic method for your own purposes, too, you know.
Mm.
And they do. And you see, and also, you know, if you look at the computer courseware, you'll see that that's exactly what they do for their own purposes. They bring you right around to where they want you.
Well, you know, there's some other things about that go parallel with this too, and I want to talk to you about it. Is the destruction of the family and the turning fathers into stupid morons through the media? Like, I remember back in this, every father that was ever portrayed on any program coming out of Hollywood, he was an incompetent boob that couldn't help his family. He was a ne'er-do-well. He had no skills. He was a dumb stick. And the simple fact of the matter is, what it was doing was starting battles between wives and husbands, children and parents. In other words, they were separating the groups into smaller micro groups and then managing them.
That's right.
And here we are today where, I mean, somebody my age, 49, I'm almost forbidden to reach down to the generation behind me and become friendly with them. Why? Because they've destroyed my connection to them.
I know. It's very, very important. I think that, you know, they've been after the guys for quite a long time.
Yep.
And
metrosexuals, we call them. They're turning all the men into women.
I have on my new website, there's a very important entry. I think it's called, it's under Shirley McCune, a major change agent in the U.S. Department of Ed, who got a grant while I was working there to pilot a program in Kansas and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Which was actually, I don't know why the federal government paid any money into it, because the book was Robert Nesbitt's Megatrends.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a hold of, because when I left, I was fired right from the department for leaking documents. But when I left, there were educators there who would send me stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this one educator sent me this grant, and I was just sickened by it, because one page, I believe, is out of Megatrends, and it says, they're going to take us from a representative form of government to participatory democracy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right versus left.
Yeah.
To the radical center. And then just what you were talking about, male versus female to androgynous.
That's right.
All right. Now, this is just three out of about 20 things from here to there.
Yeah.
And this is the federal government paying this wretched woman, high up with all her degrees hanging on her neck, to pilot this in the most conservative states in the country, Kansas and Nebraska,
yeah,
and get it out there for the whole country.
Yeah.
This was a pilot program for all schools in our country. Now, there you've got just what you said. Now, you see it. I went to the superintendent of schools in Maine.
Mm-hmm.
With that project.
Yeah.
And I said to him, look, have you seen this? I said, you're putting in this restructuring and all, and this is part of it. Have you seen this? And so he looked at it and he said, what is androgynous? And I
Excuse
said,
me?
Are you? No.
He didn't
said,
know what
Leo,
androgynous
his name was Leo Martin. He's about 60 years old then, I guess. And I don't know if he was probably pulling my leg. And I said, that means you're more like I am, and I'm more like you. And, you know, that was the very time when you started seeing in magazines these nauseating men that looked like women.
Yeah.
And you started seeing the women looking really nasty.
Yep.
And what happened is the men still are nauseating. Really, they are. And so are the movie stars. And,
well, right. Present company, I'll be honest with you, I'm as masculine as you get.
Well, my husband, too. But, no, I'm talking about movie stars.
Yep.
I'm not talking about regular people. I'm talking about the idols, the role models for our children.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what happened with the women? I think there was a backlash. They must have lost money or something when they started putting these women in all the ads for Vogue and everything else who just looked plain mean and nasty.
Yeah.
And they wore clothes that were very severe, and their eyes were all angry, and they didn't look pretty or feminine at all.
Yeah.
And, you know, that stopped. I think they lost money or something, because you've finally got some of the women coming back looking normal.
Mm-hmm.
But the men don't. The men make me sick.
Well, you know, here's something else, Charlotte, I want to talk to you about. You know, I mean, limp-wristed men are a big part of the problem, because they're needed in the blowback that we have to create in order to stop them. And so we're not going to have that. But this idea of creating this universal democracy that's going on here in Europe as well as America,
you know
democracy necessarily leads to tyranny. We figured that out 2,500 years ago when the Greeks were studying it.
That's right. It does. I mean, what, you know, if it's majority rule, huh?
Uh-huh.
It's a lot. You know, they want to cut
rule.
My hair off. They cut it off unless I've got 51%.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right. And all you need to do is control the media then, and that democracy is in your hands.
And democracy is what's being taught in the schools. It's the poor teachers, they haven't the faintest idea. They don't know the difference between democracy and republic. Our children have been brought up, you know, to believe we are a democracy.
Well, you know, here's the other thing, too. I mean, I want to talk about an issue in education, and this is public education. You've seen all this stuff, and we came out against David Irving because David Irving was clearly running over to us anyway in our research. He was clearly going to Austria to set himself up as a victim and show the world that if you speak about these issues, you'll go to jail just like me.
Yeah.
And I've had some very high contact with people who know him mm-hmm. and said that we were right on the money with our research. One of the things that we're looking at right now is this one issue of the Holocaust, and of course I'm not permitted to talk about it because I'm in a hate crimes country, which is another story.
Right.
But what I am going to want to talk about, and I won't, I can't talk about details of the Holocaust without going to jail. So I do want to talk about the rights of people to talk about any free event in the world. In other words, Americans still believe wrongly that they have free speech.
Right.
And the Europeans would fight me with tooth and nail saying that they can speak their mind, but neither of these areas are true. I mean, you cannot speak about facts surrounding certain things that they don't want you to talk about.
That's right. I know. Well, I did an article a long time ago, about 20 years ago, which was in the Washington D.C. papers on a curriculum that we had. That was being used all over the country, funded by my old office, called Facing History in Ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I couched it. It was a terrible program, psychologically damaging. They even had, and it was about the Holocaust, they even had journals that the students had, and I got a hold of the journals. And it was very interesting what the students said, that they said, I used to get up in the morning and I was a happy person. And I got all this stuff. It was fascinating what I had from that, from the research that I had done. But I was very careful, and I said, look, I would be just as upset if they'd done a program like this to do with the Holocaust in Cambodia or Laos.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what's going on here? What are you trying to do to our kids? And actually, because I did that, I did not get attacked.
Yeah.
I didn't get attacked. Now, I think it was one of Newt Gingrich's gals, one of the really good ones. I don't like Newt Gingrich, but mm-hmm. when he was in the Congress, he had a very good researcher there. And she did an article on the same program. And she didn't couch it as I had,
mm-hmm.
and she got fired. She got fired from her job in the Congress because of it.
Of course, but see, here's the other thing that's happening. We talked about it a little earlier here. These folks are losing ground with their AIPAC and their Jewish Congress and everything. And I mean, the politicos are still acting as though there's nothing changed, but in the minds of the American public, there is a groundswell. There is a shakening. There is an awakening going on.
Yeah.
And I think Eric and I are largely responsible for actually breaking through the barrier. One of the things people need to see, and this is a psychological thing, and my friend is the president of the Arab Lawyers Association of Great Britain, and he was on last night. His name is Sabah al-Mokhtar.
Mm-hmm.
And he said one of the things that happens, he says, once people start hearing other people out there able to tell the truth, it emboldens them. It helps.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why they've never wanted anyone like you or myself to get out there. But when you have more and more people, it does embolden people. I mean, even though we've got that revolting Charlie Sheen, you know, these wimps, you know, who don't dare talk about 9/11, probably feel, oh, gee, Charlie Sheen thought maybe my neighbor's right. Maybe my neighbor, remember our crazy neighbor who said that 9/11 was, that George Bush was
involved in that?
You know, I know people like that you just copied. I know people like that.
Oh,
it's astonishing, Charlotte. But you know something? I've got them in my own darn family.
Oh, don't think I don't.
Yeah.
We all do.
I got them in my family, yeah.
We all do, you know, yeah. We all do. And it's they're sad, pathetic, and they just don't want to know. And, but that's the history of the world, isn't it?
Well, what happened
in Germany, though? I mean, really, you know, we can talk about the Jews and the Holocaust and everything else, but Hitler was a pretty bad egg, and,
sure.
And he had good reasons to do some of the things he did, but not that. But the thing is, look at the German people. They let him go along and get pretty deep into the doo-doo, while they just said, oh, well, you know, I don't see that, you know, that it wasn't next door to them, you know, and that's exactly what we're doing in this country. You know, things
yep.
are going on here. People are disappearing. If you're not terribly well-known, they'll break into your house and throw you out on the street and take your property away from you, and the neighbors will turn their heads and
That's right.
say nothing.
That's
and,
right.
You know, so this has been, I'm afraid that we are really going down that path here.
We're already pretty much there already. It's
mm-hmm.
just a matter of the jackboots coming and knocking at the door saying you have to leave in 3 hours or something.
Absolutely. Well, you know what? I mean, I have a friend here, a wonderful person who's very, civic-minded, always has been. She teaches ballet, lovely gal. And they framed her to such an extent that they took her house from her. She's been out of her house for 3 years. They came in at night, jackboots, broke the door down. The elderly gentleman that had been staying with her, who was not well, busted his head. The judges all were corrupt and went up against her. And she's been fighting for 3 years. Now, I say this because this is going on, I'm afraid, much too much all over the country. Most Americans do not know it
yep.
because the people that they select for this aren't that well known,
mm-hmm.
and they wouldn't dare do it to you or mm-hmm. me or quite a few. I'm not that well known, but I rather doubt that they would. Well, I may be asking for trouble when I said that.
Well, if they do that to you, you got a soapbox on my show.
Well, yeah, thank you. And you know that they may. I've always felt that the more I talk, the safer I am.
Well, that's a fact. That's a fact that I realized some time
right.
ago. But here's the other side of this. Right now, where we're at right now in Europe and especially in the United States.
Yeah.
Their work. See, they talk about the dynamic of resistance to each other, but by and large, France and Britain and Spain and Germany, they're all on the same page.
They are.
They're bought and paid for by the
yep.
same people.
Yep.
And here's the thing. I mean, when we talk about who they are, I've made lists. I've talking to the administration about, you know, Bill Kristol doing a lot of
yep.
the organizing on the outside, and,
mm-hmm.
and we talk about people like Leigh Dean and Wolfowitz
yep.
and all of this.
Yep.
But when we talk about the higher level people like Schultz
yep.
and like Kissinger,
oh yeah,
and we talk about, you know, the Rothschild people and the guy from Berkshire Hathaway who's working with these people, and the Davos meeting that goes on,
mm-hmm.
and all the different people that show up at this thing.
Mm-hmm.
These people are the enemy, and what we've done, Eric and I started identifying people. I mean, we don't use these amorphous terms of New World Order and because all that does is instill fear, and people sit there and say, oh, the New World Order is coming for me, and it doesn't do anything for
you. It's not, you're not identifying anything there, and actually the New World Order is the old world order, huh?
Well, sure, it sure
right?
is.
And actually, disorder, let's call it what it really is. And Henry Kissinger is a very good example
yeah.
of someone who's managed to go unscathed. He is a Soviet agent. There's no question he was. He probably
yep.
still is. I don't know if you saw my article on Kissinger out of the closet. Did you ever see that?
No, he's a homosexual. I know that.
No, no, no.
But he is. He actually, if you know Kay, you know Kay
well,
Briggs?
I know this. I know he was the one in the State Department who made it okay for them to, but no, that when I wrote the article,
mm-hmm.
it was in regard to him being, when he was named, remember, to be head of the 9/11 commission?
Oh, geez, yes.
And
yes,
I wrote an article, Kissinger Out of the Closet, and I wrote about his being a Soviet agent, the whole thing with Golanevsky and him being identified way back when he was in the U.S. Army in Germany as a Soviet agent. I don't know if you know about that. Do you?
I've read stuff about it, and it, you know, Heinz. His name isn't even Henry; it's Heinz.
Yeah, Bohr. B-O-R.
Heinz, huh?
Well, his code name was Bohr. B-O-R.
Well, he, you know, do you know who has a lot of goods on him? And I've had her on the show. Is Kay Griggs?
Yes, she is good. Yes.
And Kay yeah. told me that her husband George Griggs, Colonel
right.
Griggs,
right.
Told her a lot of stuff about Heinz, and she actually did some follow up research
mm-hmm.
about some young men in Vietnam that were actually raped by this man, and their lives yes. were destroyed. But that's another story. Let's even go to this. This is even sicker. There is a white slavery group that, and they've been picking the Balkans clean for the last few years with DynCorp and Blackwell Group and. Shipping these ex Yugoslavian women and
yes.
Bulgarian women
yes.
around the world,
yes.
same people involved in this slave trade, this,
yep.
these children and these women.
I know.
But we also have a problem with pedophilia in America,
that's
and it
right.
goes back to the same group again.
Right.
And
well, the Franklin cover up, you know.
Oh that. My God! And I had John DeCamp on the show,
yeah.
and boy, I'll tell you something. This stuff, when you tell somebody this stuff, Charlotte,
I know.
It is so horrific that you can't, they can't believe it.
Well,
yeah,
I don't really blame them because it is so. I knew Marty Stacey pretty well, and I just wish that I've got to get in touch with him again. But you probably knew him. He had the radio program out of, I believe, Omaha, Nebraska. Great radio talk show for years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he interviewed John DeCamp on the Franklin cover-up, and that was the end of Marty's career.
Well, you know, I've had John on twice, and they bounced me off of a couple of networks already.
Well, I mean, this was sad because he'd been there 20 years.
Yeah.
He was
yeah.
well known. I mean, he was interviewing creepy people like Ann Coulter and, you know, neocon, who he was doing it on purpose, and he
yeah.
would really go after them. He got all sorts of people on, and then he beat up on them, but when he had DeCamp on, that was the end of his career.
Well, you know why they bounced me off of GCN? I started talking about the Shabbat Lubavitch.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh.
Boy,
yes.
After the Shabbat Lubavitch yes. came out of my mouth, boy, my hours were numbered, not days.
Yes, I bet. Yes.
So
well,
I mean,
I don't know. I mean, this is a subject that is very, you know. I mean, I admire you for dealing with it. It's something I've really always. I've avoided it, but I
yeah.
always, when people call in, they try to get me involved in it
mm-hmm.
because there are people on the other side who'd love to get me involved in it and to get rid of me.
Yeah.
And I know, I can tell when they call and they say, well, you know, you're really very interesting, but you're not dealing with a real issue. And I know immediately what they're talking about. And I say, well, listen, you know, if you want to deal with a real issue, just get a hold of Israel Shahak's book.
That's right.
Jewish Religion, Jewish History.
Or
and
listen
don't
to Daryl Bradford Smith's broadcast. That'll curl
well,
your hair.
Well, no, you don't need me. I don't have to talk about this. Why don't you go to the horse's mouth?
That's right.
And find out what's going on. Because
well, you know, I had the same thing with Ray McGovern.
Yeah.
Ray, you know, I Ray and I now go back over a year now, pretty close. I talk to him regularly. He did his exposing of this stuff incrementally. I mean, of course, the first time we discussed it, he used very vague terms about Israel's involvement in Iraq and what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the second visit he went a little further, and the third visit he used this term called oil and using the logistics in Israel and all of, you know, all of this other stuff that he couched his criticisms in these kind of code.
Mm-hmm.
But he still was saying the stuff that I was saying in his own way, and he told me, he said, you know, I've got a crowd that I am accepted in, and I'm trying to sway them my own way,
mm-hmm.
and I don't want to get blown out of the water by
yep.
going too far, but at the same time, I know what you're saying. There's another friend of mine, Dave McMichael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Dave worked at the Stanford Research Institute out in California. He was CIA
yeah.
for a long time,
right.
and he blew the whistle on Iran-Contra.
Yeah,
and of course, so, you know, when that came out, and he was blackballed, but he still stayed close to some people, and he went kind of under the radar. Now, he's in the same boat with Ray, where he'll talk about the truth, but in very encoded language, which is fine, because it's the same when Dennis Halliday comes on.
Yeah.
Dennis and I we have great private conversations, but when he gets on the radio, he uses code words, too.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay, because we're all on the same page for the most part. We're fighting the good fight.
Well, I think that, you know, Arabists are, as I said earlier, they're all, most of them are in their 70s and 80s now. They're hard to find any really good ones left.
Yeah, yeah.
But those guys, nobody could ever call them anti-Semitic.
That's right.
They're not anti-Semitic. I mean, after all, the Arabs are Semitic too, right?
That's right.
They just know the history of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of what happened, history is history.
That's right.
Until forces that are very powerful, you know, start changing the history. And it's a shame that these Arabists will be dead soon. I know several of them. They're great, really, very fine. You know, when 9/11 happened and then Bush decided to do what he was doing, and one of them is a very good friend of mine that I worked with, former ambassador. You know, he said, this is a disaster. He said, this is a total disaster. He said, the only one who has the slightest understanding of what's happening there is Colin Powell. And he's the only one that anybody could even hope for, and who knows what he's going to do. But do we know? How could any president, regardless of who is pulling the strings, want to throw a fireball into a hornet's nest?
Over
the world. I mean, that doesn't even make sense. Why would those people who were behind that even want that to happen themselves?
But you see, you have to know the agenda, and here's the agenda. And we figured this out some time ago, Eric and I. The investment, the outward investment into China and India started back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Their offshore production started in the late 80s, early 90s. During the 80s and 90s, what they were doing is these large, powerful global companies started moving their manufacturing out of the country. Yep. And then what they did is they said, oh, we don't need manufacturing because we're a service organization.
Right.
So we don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, these people's manufacturing base are covered.
Right.
And what they've basically been doing, such as General Motors and Adelphi company and Ford and all the rest of them, is shutting down their plants in America and shipping them to other countries. And they're finally going to implode America and put it under a Soviet-style lockdown.
Right.
And they're going to let us languish for 75, 80 years until the whole place is in rack and ruin.
I know.
And then they're going to need to do exactly what they did to the Soviet Union. What they've done now in Russia is come in and rebuild it.
That's right.
And
you have to destroy before you restructure.
There you go. And in the meantime, they're gonna be all making their money out of China and India.
Mm-hmm.
They're going
it's
to.
True, but you know, you say these people, and
it's the Zionists, and I mean, we're going to get.
Well, yeah, but are they in charge of all the corporations?
They are through their ability to lend them money and to network them, yes.
Okay.
And when you take a look at the Federal Reserve being entirely owned by Jewish people, entirely,
mm-hmm. they can
set the agenda for these companies to the point where, yes, they are under their thumb.
Okay. All right, because that's important. It's so hard for people to understand why good American companies, at least as we always consider them to be, have succumbed to this totally anti-American, any U.S. sovereignty agenda. You know, it's very hard to understand unless there have been enormous forces bearing down on them.
Right. Well, I mean, you take a look at companies like General Electric today. I mean, under Jack Welch, you could see the shifting away from America as a center of its company policy.
Right.
And you can also see it with companies like DuPont, and you can see it with Ford Motor Company and General Motors. Anybody who takes a look at the way, that, you know, even the financing side of things that was going on, where they were still starting to peddle their bond paper to people outside of America. In other words, the bond market in the 1980s for American paper on American businesses started being exported to other parts of the world through London. And London right now controls, see, that's the interesting link here. What most people don't understand is that when Cromwell let the Jews back into Britain, many of the aristocrats were bankrupt at that time. They were broke. And they started intermarrying with the Jewish families. And many of the lords and the wealthiest class of people in Britain are Jewish.
Right.
And
and
the city of London, when it's referred to in some of these radio shows that you hear in America, oh, the city of London. Well, it's the banking cartels of the city of London, and we can name names if you want to about it. But when you talk about, here's the interesting thing: the entire Nazi program was financed by Jewish money.
Oh, I know.
And nobody wants to talk about this. They'll talk about the Holocaust, but they're not going to discuss the fact that the entire process was done through their banks.
Right, yeah.
Charlotte, where are we going with this? I mean, we're a voice in the wind here, you know, but we are getting traction. Americans may wake up, but it may be too late. Because, you know, the stupid jackbooters that they've put in power positions, some of them are masochists. Some of them they've got illness in their hearts. And I got to tell you, I mean, I'm watching today. I'm reading today on the net. This old woman, 85 years old, broken hip. She had a breast removed. She's in a wheelchair. She can't walk. And she's at an airport. And the airport inspectors are forcing her to walk, which she can't. And her daughter's screaming, she's gonna fall and break her other hip. And they abused her. They pushed her around. Yeah. They shoved. And I'm saying to myself, what in the name of all that is good has happened?
Well,
to our country?
Think what's happened is through the schools. See,
yeah,
I think that's I felt all along, and I think it was deliberate moral and academic chaos. And they've been using this horrible rat training method for years in the schools and with the poor teachers. And you know, if you use that method, decided, you know, through evolution, the belief in evolution, that we're animals, and so they train us like animals, and we act like animals. And worse, far, far worse. But I think that is what has happened over the years. Human beings can really be, over the years, changed, and they have been. There is no warmth, no graciousness, no feeling of love and concern for your neighbor anymore, because most people will say, oh, well, the federal government's going to take care of that anyway. You know, that's socialism. So we've lost empathy, concern, love for our neighbor. We've lost Christianity. We really have, because the churches are so terribly infiltrated. I mean, they really, if you want to know the enemy, I personally put them, you're going to be surprised when I say this, I believe that the Christian churches, including the Catholic Church, and I'm a traditional Catholic, are more responsible.
That's right, because they sold out their faith.
And people believe them and trust them.
Yeah.
Before, I put them almost before the problem we've been discussing today.
Well, they're controllers.
That goes together. See, they
could have never done this without the acquiescence.
They're in bed together.
That's right, they are.
And,
but you see, they're not the decision makers. This Lubavitch group and the Rothschild group are really the decision makers at the top. I mean, they're not as united as you might think. And I mean, this is the other thing too. I mean, everybody, when I first started doing this, Charlotte, I was afraid for my safety and everything. And what I didn't realize at the time was that I was a small potato, and they don't have the resources to come down on everybody. And the fact was, I was nervous for no reason. There is a period when you get halfway up the ladder to fighting them where you could become an object of their interest. But when you're just down in the rank and file trying to spread news about this, you're not a target.
No.
No, they just don't have the numbers. And
well, I think especially, you know, I think you're correct that more and more people are waking up.
Yep.
And as that happens, they're going to become less and less obvious, and they're going to be a little more careful. I think maybe the page can be turned eventually. I just don't know.
America can't survive in its present manifestation. It has to be deconstructed and rebuilt. And my whole goal for the country has been to return to erase every law in the country and return to the basic laws of our original founders.
Oh yeah.
To eradicate and eliminate all debt, public and private.
Absolutely. Well, you know, that I ran for office once about 30 years ago, local, for the state senate, and that was my platform. And I'll tell you, I didn't last long. All of a sudden, I found out this leading lawyer, who was a judge, Mason, et cetera, right, was right in there. He was going to, you know, in the primaries, to knock me out. I pulled right out immediately. I couldn't make it because I had said I want to, you know, never will I be involved in putting another law on the books. I will be involved in getting rid of as many as possible.
Well,
and, oh, my goodness, that was the end of me.
Yeah.
My political career was dead in the water.
Well, I mean, you know, you've got the Cretan, like, Olympia Snow up there.
Oh, darn. And how about both of them? Collins.
Jesus.
Susan Collins, she's chairwoman of the Senate Committee for Homeland Security.
Yeah.
And she's not particularly bright, you know. Not particularly bright. But you know who she has backing her?
No.
Former Senator William Cohen.
Oh, the
was
pedophile.
Also Secretary of Defense.
Do you know he's a pedophile?
I don't know about that, but she
They came right out and accused him of it, and he didn't fight back because
Well, I don't know about
on.
That, but I do know that she got elected because he supported her.
Mm-hmm.
So everything she does is what he wants.
Well, I'll send you the information on his other.
I wouldn't
other
be. You know, I'm not surprised at anything anymore. But and I know I've been following him for many years. He knows me, and he also was very deeply involved in the most recent base closings across the country.
Yep.
It was because of him when he was Secretary of Defense under Clinton.
Yep.
Good Republican, huh?
Mm.
He was the one who forced these. Pushing this through the base closings that took place this year, including in Maine, the dumb Mainers, they have the faintest idea. It was their dear Billy Cohen who made sure that we lost our very, very important base.
We New Englanders, us Yankees up in the North Country there, I'm a Yankee from way back. I mean, we pride ourselves on standing up.
Yeah.
Now, and we do for the most part, but here's been our challenge. Our challenge has always been to be well informed and be correctly informed. And what we're losing is our inquisitiveness for the truth and our willingness to say, no, you're not right, and I'm not going to stand for that. But you go to any town meeting in Massachusetts, where I'm from, and if the teachers' union has not completely bought and paid for the entire community, which is what happened. I mean, you know, and what happens? Every vote comes up on the small town now. They pack the building with teachers, and they push forward the socialist agenda in even the small towns.
Oh, are you kidding? Look, you know my background?
No, go ahead.
I was on a local school board for 20 years. I fought. And then finally, they had the budget meeting. This is after 20 years living in a town where I could get elected before all the newcomers came in. But budget meeting, and I hadn't even said anything, but I got up to ask people to please not clap so hard so the old people could, you know, vote and go home. And I got booed out of the gym by the teachers' union. You don't have to tell me what goes on.
Well, I mean, see
it's 20 years of it.
This is an agenda that has been very successful. These people have done this. To pull this thing apart is going to be one heck of a job. But you know something? I'm up to the challenge, and I think a lot of the listeners are as well. Of course, this is a grassroots thing. I mean, I don't get paid for this. I never have.
Right.
I never received a dime for it, and I never will. This is all about caring about the future for those I love and for the country that I know we could be. And I mean, just think, Eric often says this to me, think about what we could have if these people were not in charge.
I know.
My goodness, you know, it could really be a wonderful world if we got rid of these horrible people.
Well, it was before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we've done about an hour here, which is about that time. And you know, Charlotte, you are a really great resource. And I got to tell you, I didn't know you didn't probably know what to expect on the French Connection, did you?
Not really.
Well, what is your idea now?
I think you're doing what has to be done.
Yep.
And I wish you well.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly my field that you're into, but I couldn't agree more with your effort to do this, because I know it from way back. I know the history of the agenda to take this our form of government and our religion down the tubes. I know the history of that.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the American people don't. And what you're doing is bringing this to light. And the interesting thing is that it has nothing to do with the real truth.
No, it doesn't. And
see, most Americans just don't know
that
this whole agenda comes from Eastern Europe and up there. And
from the
they
Khazars,
know nothing about
right.
the Khazars, and,
yeah.
and they just don't know their history.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you can educate people on that,
mm-hmm.
you'll have a much more willing audience. That's so important. You know, I mean, you're talking about that's the essence of it.
That's right.
I mean, and the individuals, I mean, the good Jews in Israel now can't even get a job.
Well, you know, there are many of my supporters are Jewish. And,
I know.
And in fact, New Torah Carta
yep.
Is one of our they're true Torah Jews.
Right.
They're not interested in this world supremacy
no,
either, and
they're
fighting
not.
As well.
And that's
yeah.
what has to be brought out. And
yeah.
and the dumb, if they're dumb or not, I don't know, or evil, you know, the Christian evangelicals who are supporting this
oh.
tremendous... I mean, this is pathetic, don't
you know
they
why,
know?
Charlotte? They're using the Scofield Bible written by the very people that are their enemy.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And
now,
they don't even know that the Israeli Parliament passed a law that Christian missionaries are not allowed to spread Christianity in Israel.
Well,
they don't even know that.
Well, they don't know that Israel is the most apartheid government in the history of the modern world.
I know.
And the fact is that they're murdering young children and
That's
breaking
right.
arms of... Oh, boy.
Well,
but,
don't they... I mean, these people, I don't know, do you ever take them on in debates or anything?
Well, you know, basically I could bring somebody on. Somebody wants to come on and fight with me on the radio. And of course, I have been in debates with people about this. And they are intransient in listening to the facts that we've been able to garner.
I think
and what,
so. Yeah, they just they, won't. You
they
can't
won't.
Get anywhere.
Yeah.
No.
So we're basically on a track for educating. Your support by doing what you're doing actually is part of the fight. And the French Connection listeners are aware of your website and will be placed on our site. As you know, I'm in touch with people from all over the world, and I'm trying to get, you know, I got people trying to put me on radio in Africa as well. 60 million listeners.
Wow!
And, yeah,
that's good. That's
well,
good.
And not only that, you know, this is a situation where the they're probably the continent of all of them that has been the most abused by these people. Through
You're
Cecil B. Rhodes.
And what's going on now? Yes, absolutely, they have been. That's
back,
right.
you know, Cecil B. Rhodes, the Round Table,
right.
Rhodesia, the
yep.
whole bit. No.
Absolutely. I know.
So, anyway, Charlotte,
okay.
you know, it's been a wonderful visit with you.
Well, thank you.
I want to invite you back another time, but
okay.
next time I will ask you maybe to, we'll do a specific subject next time that
Fine.
you can maybe jot down a couple of notes about, and maybe and we can really tear something up on the show.
Okay, very good. Well, thanks for the invitation. I enjoyed the interview, and I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Charlotte. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Charlotte Isserby. If you hadn't heard of her before, you should have. Lots of information came out of Charlotte today. You know, we are a very important source for truth here at this French Connection show, and we need your support. By support, what I mean is you need to bring people to these facts. First place to stop with them is Ben Friedman. As soon as they're done with Ben Friedman, you can say, now you're primed. After you get out of bed from the depression that you have, it's time for you to be educated. Go to the website, ladies and gentlemen, and listen to these files and listen to these interviews and listen to the information. My interviews are timeless because they're factual. They're timeless because once the truth is out, once we discuss factual evidence, it doesn't have to have a date on it. Don't worry about if it says, you know, last January or last February or even last December or even last September. If we've discussed it on this show, it was an expose of factual things that are going to educate you. Go back in the files, look at some of the names. At the bottom of the website, in fact, are who these people are. They're world leaders that have been on this show. I mean, if you go back far enough, I've had Ralph Nader on three times, which he's turned out to be quite a ne'er-the-well, this guy. But you'll find actually a lot of the bad guys that were on before I woke up to the fact that they were bad guys. I've even interviewed these cretins from this crypto Jew, Muff Kafka, Wing TV. This hemorrhoid of a human being. I can't even believe what he's trying to do today. The facts are, guys, is that the world is going to wake up. The world is waking up. The world is awake. We're fighting the big fight. We're taking these people down with the truth, because the truth is a mighty sword. Come stand beside me in this battle. Come stand beside Eric Hufschmidt and many, many, many others, Sabah al-Mukhtar and Charlotte Isserby and Dan McGowan and Imam Blair. And we can go on and on. There are so many of us out here fighting this. Don't be afraid. The new world order, they're going to eat your baby. That's not happening, guys. Not happening. Don't be afraid to fight. Stand up and be heard. Until next week, ladies and gentlemen, this is Daryl Bradford Smith telling you to be well, and good night. Bye-bye now.